You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Hall of Famers did what Hall of Famers do. The young emerging stars, Clint Capella, maybe Daniel House Jr., they did what we've become accustomed to seeing them do. And the Rockets finally had the type of win against an overmatched opponent that we would like to see more of. That against the Atlanta Hawks on Tuesday evening. The Rockets led by 6 at the break, ended up winning very comfortably for their 12th victory in the last 13 games, improving them to 45-26 on the year and firmly in command of the number 3 seed in the Western Conference playoff standings. So, first things first, welcome into a happy postgame episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast analysis on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. Tonight's show is brought to you courtesy of our friends and partners over at DraftKings. For the first time, DraftKings is offering a bracket battle promotion, which when you use the promo code DRIBBLE, you can enter for free with $64,000 in prizes. As mentioned, the Rockets have indeed won again Tuesday evening with a 121-105 triumph in Atlanta over the Atlanta Hawks. The win improves the Rockets to 45-26 with 12 wins in their last 13 games. The loss drops the Hawks to 24-48. James Harden led the way, 31 points on 8 of 18 shooting, also had 10 assists, the fifth consecutive game that he's had 10 or more dimes after only doing so once in nearly 2 months before that. Chris Paul had a double-double, 13 points, 11 assists. Clint Capella, 26 points, 11 rebounds, including 20-plus in the first half. And Daniel House Jr. off the bench, 19 points, on a season-best 6 made threes, made better than 50% from three-point range yet again, 6 of 11, and was a bench-best plus 20. Actually, Clint Capella at plus 21 had the best plus-minus on the entire Rockets roster. So it was the type of feel-good win. Yet again, the Rockets were up by 20 in the fourth period. The final margin shrunk to 16 because of garbage time in the last couple of minutes. It's similar to Sunday against Minnesota in that it took the Rockets a little bit to get into gear. Sunday, they led Minnesota by 1 at the break. Tonight, they led Atlanta by 6. Ultimately, though, over 48 minutes, the cream rose to the top, and the Rockets are just, even with Trae Young leading the Hawks tonight, you can see why he's making a late push for Rookie of the Year, had 21-12. Overall, though, the Rockets are the reason they are a contender, and the Hawks are not going to the playoffs. Houston is the better basketball team in over 48 minutes, just as it did Sunday against Minnesota. The talent ultimately rose to the top. And what really stands out to me in this one, we'll talk about James Harden and Chris Paul in segments 2 of our 3 points recap. We'll also get to segment 3, some of the guys who did not play tonight. With this being a back-to-back, the Rockets are in Memphis tomorrow. Iman Shumpert and Nene were out on the front end. Tomorrow, Eric Gordon, who had 4 threes. Eric, by the way, entered tonight shooting 46% from 3 in the month of March. And then he was even better than that, 12 points on 4 of 7 from behind the arc. Those are the only shots that he took. And, well, if you take 7 threes, you make 4 of them. I don't think anybody's going to complain about that level of efficiency. He will rest tomorrow. So we'll get to why the Rockets are resting at this point in the schedule with it still being a month until the playoffs. And even though, again, they do have a lead of a game and a half in the standings for the number 3 over Portland, they're now 3 games clear of Oklahoma City and San Antonio in the loss column as far as teams potentially beyond Portland, as far as catching them. Ultimately, though, there's a reason the Rockets are being proactive now. The schedule is going to stiffen up more so than teams like Phoenix, Minnesota, Atlanta, Memphis in the weeks ahead. So that's why the Rockets are being a little bit more proactive at the moment. We'll get to that in segment 3. But off the top, I think the clear guys, and of course it's the two that we mentioned leading the plus-minus, Clint Capella, 26-11, plus 21, and then Daniel House Jr. off the bench, 19 points, 6 of 11 from 3, which is a career high in terms of made threes in a game, and plus 20. And when you have James Harden and Chris Paul, and I know to some degree I'm taking them for granted, but that's why they're paid all that money. Assuming they're healthy and playing, they should be really good. They're Hall of Famers for a reason. Well, all you need is a couple of other role players up and down your roster to step up, and you're probably going to be fine. Tonight in Atlanta, the Hawks, they led in the early going of this game, and the Rockets came out shooting just 2 of 16 from three-point range. They were ice cold at the beginning of the game. Now, I know they ended up shooting above 40%, 19 of 47, coming off those brutal shooting games against the Warriors and the Suns. They bounced back really well, showing why they keep shooting, because ultimately they believe things are going to even out. They've been above 40%, even on high volume, with 47 and I believe 50 attempts the last two games. So clearly, against the Wolves and the Hawks, the sample size has evened out. Tonight, though, in the early going, it didn't. And on the road, one of the things that the team's road commentators, Craig Ackerman and Matt Bullard were commenting on, is that they could not believe in the early going with the Rockets so cold, and it started with James Harden, they were only within or only trailing by 2 or 3 points. It was stunningly close, and that's because Clint Capela went out in the first half, and of his 26, he had 20 in the early going. And Houston overall, they were only out-rebounded by 8. I say only because Atlanta's a pretty big team, and we've seen some much worse differentials than that. Capela early on, he kept them competitive on the glass, but more than that, he finished at the rim when the Rockets were ice cold. And what that did was that it bought them time. It allowed them to settle in, and then after starting 2 of 16, Eric Gordon made a couple of threes. We mentioned his 4 of 7 shooting output. That got them going. And then as the game moved forward, boy, did Daniel House Jr. get hot. We know he provides as a 3-and-D swingman. We've sung his praises for months. This is why the Rockets tried so hard to get him on a 2- or 3-year contract. Ultimately, they were not able to. Even if it's just a 1-year deal, he is way too valuable as far as what he can provide to this basketball team, one that's built around contending now, to keep him at the G League level. That's why they brought him back up, and they'll worry about the rest once July gets here, as far as only having the mid-level exception to retain some combination, and likely only one, of Daniel House, Austin Rivers, and Kenneth Free. That's a long way away. For now, the Rockets are trying to maximize their odds this season, which you should do when you have the MVP, James Harden, and Chris Paul at 33, either in or very close to their primes. And when you have those two guys out there getting double-doubles and playing as well as they did Tuesday night, it's not as if you need that much help. We've talked about, especially in the period that Clint Capela was not out there, the 5.5 weeks he missed with the thumb surgery, if there's one thing that did to the offense, it's not just about the defense, it's what it does to the offense and how it makes them more predictable, more volatile, because they have to take all those threes. Well, when you have Clint Capela's ability to finish his vertical spacing, his putbacks, what that does is that it keeps you afloat in those periods when you are only down 2 or 3 instead of down potentially 10 if this were a game in which you had no other alternative but to just keep chucking threes. And then because Capela kept you afloat with those 20 in the first half, he only scored 6 in the second. Well, that's fine because by that point, everybody else got hot from three-point range, including James Harden, who ended up making 4. PJ Tucker, who's had a relatively cold week, he made 2 of his 4 from behind the arc. Again, overall, the Rockets 19 of 47, better than 40%. For a second consecutive game. And effectively, Capela, he bought them time. That's why I was never that worried about Clint, because he has been scoring. There are times that defensively you'd like him to be a little bit tougher, have a bit more sand in his shorts, so to speak, such as on the low block, what we saw against Boogie Cousins and DeAndre Ayton over the past week. I don't think that's the thumb injury, though. I think, if anything, that's related to not playing basketball for 5.5, 6 weeks, and he still needs to do a little bit more work in the weight room and or build back his stamina. And he still has a month until the playoffs, so that hopefully he'll be able to do that. And he's young. I don't think Clint Capela is a guy that needs rest days. As long as he is healthy, though, and he still has time to continue to improve those things, I've seen enough from Clint. I'm not going to worry. And that's why he's so valuable, because tonight he kept you afloat until the rest of the offense kicked into gear. And when it did, boy, did the Rockets coast in a big way. They scored 68 points in the second half, including 37 in the fourth quarter. And even at home, and playing relatively well. I mentioned Trae Young, 21 and 12. There's a lot to be excited about in Atlanta these days. They just didn't have the talent over 48 minutes to keep up with the Rockets. And it goes without saying that James Harden and Chris Paul, they're great. And when they are out there and healthy, all you need is a couple of role players to step up. And we had Clint Capela doing that in the first half. And then Daniel House Jr. as the game moved along, 6 of 11 from 3, 19 points, plus 20. He's an impact player defensively. He can shoot threes. He can take it to the cup. There's a reason why this contract battle was as important as it was. The Rockets may not have won the battle in terms of keeping him for multiple years, But they did at least get him back on the basketball team. And for a team with the aforementioned James Harden and Chris Paul, it's always 1 year at a time. And clearly, Daniel House Jr. makes you a much better basketball team at this particular moment. That's why the Rockets are 3-0 in the three games that Daniel House Jr. has played since returning. And of the three, two have not even been close. So I think that speaks very well to his value. The Rockets are winning games. He's back. And even on a night that, again, Harden had 31, 10, and 8. Chris Paul had 13 and 11. We'll get to them momentarily. Also, Chris had three steals. We'll talk about them in segment two. Here at the top in segment one, it's all about Daniel House Jr. and Clint Capella. Because when you have role players stepping up like that to complement James Harden and Chris Paul, yeah, these Rockets can be absolutely lethal. And that's why we're finally starting to see the Rockets get the margins against lesser teams that we have not seen throughout the season to the extent that we would like. Now, we'll get back to the podcast momentarily with some talk about James Harden and Chris Paul. We'll also get into who's resting, not just tonight, but also tomorrow night in Memphis, second night of a back-to-back. That'll come in segment two and segment three. But for now, I do want to pause and acknowledge our awesome sponsors over at DraftKings, because without their support, we would not be able to bring this show to you as frequently as we do, the only daily podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. And well, beyond just the fact that it's the home stretch of the NBA season, more than that, it is March Madness. And did you know that this year you can fill out a tourney bracket at DraftKings? That's right. DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, they've now got a totally free bracket with tens of thousands of dollars up for grabs. Everyone fills out a bracket during the tournament, so you might as well do it on an award-winning app with tons of free prizes. This year, for the first time ever, DraftKings is offering a bracket battle promotion with $64,000 total dollars in prizes. If you're a big University of Houston fan, which even though I went to Mizzou, Mizzou's not in the tournament, I love Houston sports, so I'm absolutely bandwagoning U of H this year. If you want to support them, or if you support anybody else, or you just want a reason to root in the tournament, which starts Thursday and Friday, I consider those the two most fun days in sports, because really you have games from morning until night, 12 plus hours. Well, that's a great reason if you fill out a bracket at DraftKings with all that money potentially available for you to start caring about college basketball in addition to what's going on with your Houston Rockets. I'm guessing that most of you guys know how brackets work. Before tip-off of the first game of the tournament on Thursday, just pick the winner of every game, every round, and that's all there is to it. The best part, you can play for free. You can get in on that DraftKings action at no cost whatsoever with all the potential prizes just by using the promo code DRIBBLE, and you can even set up a private group for you and your friends and compete for bragging rights. So to take advantage of the promotion, just download the DraftKings app or head to DraftKings.com now and use the promo code DRIBBLE to enter the bracket battle promotion for free and compete for your share of $64,000. Again, that's code DRIBBLE to enter the bracket battle for free. Only at DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions do apply, and you can see DraftKings.com for further details. Now, continuing our way through Tuesday night's recap of the 121-105 win the Rockets posted over the Hawks, we spent much of the first segment discussing the improved shooting. Overall, the second straight game, the Rockets have shot better than 40% from three, even on high volume, 50 attempts on Sunday, 47%. On Tuesday, and that's coming off two games against the Warriors and the Suns last week where they were close to 25%. So with sample size, that's evening out. And continuing that theme, if sample size evens out, well, if you have a healthy Rockets roster, which for the first time all season long, it feels like they largely do, they are resting some players, Iman Shumpert and Nene on the front end of this back-to-back. Eric Gordon will sit on the back end on Wednesday in Memphis. Even with those brief absences, when you have James Harden and Chris Paul leading the way and at least an 8 or 9 man capable rotation of NBA rotation quality players, the Rockets are going to be tough to beat, especially against a team in Atlanta that, led by Trae Young, is gaining talent and getting better as the season moves along. They aren't a contender like the Rockets. There's a reason why Houston has won 12 of their last 13 games and is now at 45-26, their high watermark at 19 games over 500, and now gaining steam in the race for the number three seed in the Western Conference. In segment one, we talked a lot about the role players, predominantly Clint Capella, 26-11, Daniel House, 19 points plus 20, a career best 6 made threes, Eric Gordon, who's continued his hot shooting in March, nearly 50% from three, better than that tonight, 4 of 7 from three, and as long as you have two or three role players that step up in that regard and your defense is passable, which it was, holding the Hawks to 105, then you're going to be fine. Why? Because you have James Harden and Chris Paul. James with 31 points, 10 assists. It's his fifth straight game of double-figure assists if you're doing so just one game in nearly 2 months before that. Of course, that speaks to the fact that when everyone is healthy, James Harden wants to be a facilitator. He doesn't want to be a scorer only, and that's why some of the volume scoring criticisms were just laughable. The only reason why he was doing that during his stupendous stretch in December, January, and February was that with all the injuries, the Rockets needed it to stay afloat. Now, with the role players, the supporting cast, and Chris Paul getting healthy, James is happy to defer more. The only question you might have is, well, is James fully healthy? Because he's had issues with the wrist, his neck in recent weeks. He's starting to get better. We're now at 3 of his last 4 games that he's been 44% or better from the field. He was 10 of 23 against the Warriors. He was 12 of 25 against the Suns. Tonight, he was 8 of 18. So to me, that's trending in the right direction. The 3-point shot is still not ideal, though, although he did get hot as the game moved along. 4 of 11 overall, so that's much better than what he's done of late. Ultimately, though, I don't really judge too many players by the 3-point shot in a small sample because, as mentioned by the team's numbers as a whole, that's going to be random. If James is shooting overall fine, even if he's not making threes, well, that tells you that he's willing to drive, he's willing to take twos, and tonight, after not getting any free throws in Sunday's win over Minnesota, he went to the line 12 times and made 11 of those. So if he is making twos, which surely means he has to take a lot of floaters, a lot of mid-range, and of course there's a lot of contact that goes with that, and if he's going to the line, he's probably feeling just fine. The 3-point shot, I would not judge that as a determiner of just how healthy he is. Now, I do believe that it's something you want to track, because especially getting into the playoffs, sure, there's such a thing as being hot, feeling good, being in rhythm. But if there's an injury, be it to his wrist, be it to his neck, or anything else going on with him, I don't think you would just see it in terms of his 3-point numbers and not anything else. Actually, I'd be a lot more concerned if it was a game like Sunday, and of course the Rockets won that comfortably, so there was no need, and Harden was questionable going in, to kind of stress himself by taking contact. But that, to me, is he willing to probe? Is he willing to go inside? Is he taking shots to get to the line? Is he making twos? That, to me, more than threes, is what can tell you something about his health. And so to see him be as efficient as he was on his twos tonight, 4 of 7, 4 of 11 from behind the three-point arc, so that did get better as the game moved along. He got to the free throw line 12 times, had 10 assists. Yeah, he probed just fine. And even after a slow start, I think he missed his first 4 shots. Now, I believe his first make, I think, was when he just turned Kent Bazemore around and made him look silly on a drive in the first quarter. So if you take away the fact that he started cold, it was a brilliant game for James. And to me, he finished a lot better than he started, which tells you that he's healthy, because certainly there wasn't like there was a minutes toll. I think one of the benefits, of course, you go out and win games by a comfortable margin. Nobody played more than 34 minutes, and that was P.J. Tucker. Harden played just 33. Chris Paul played just 29. That's a big deal because it's the front end of a back-to-back. So for James, I think it's a step in the right direction. And 4 of 11 from 3, while not great, it's certainly, I would say, serviceable. We're talking about above 35%. That's much better than what he's been doing over the past few games. And especially, again, the fact that he got better as the game moved along. With Chris Paul, boy, what he did in the second half as a passer, 11 assists to just 1 turnover, 3 steals. His shot, he started cold just like James. Ultimately, he ended up making 4 of 10, 2 of 6 from behind the arc. But when you have 11 assists to 1 turnover and you have 3 steals on the other side, that's a pretty impressive game. And what I think is noteworthy, we're starting to see some synergies in that second unit between Chris Paul and Daniel House. Because at least for now, the Rockets are starting Eric Gordon at the 3 spot. Well, that usually means that House, and of course we've talked a lot about his brilliance over the past few days, is going to come off the bench around halfway through or a little bit after that, the first and third periods. Well, if there's one thing that you go back to late December, early January, when Daniel House had his breakout, it largely happened. There were a few games he had with Chris Paul before then, but when he was at his best, we reference a lot, the last 12 games when he shot nearly 50% from 3, Chris Paul wasn't out there. So it's really encouraging that you're starting to see, and of course it makes sense, Chris Paul has been better at pushing the tempo with that second unit, playing to their strengths. Austin Rivers, who returned tonight after a rest game on Sunday, So did Kenneth Faried. They're fine. Gerald Green, we know those guys. That faster pace plays to their strengths. So even if it's not Chris Paul's preferred style of play, if it's better for his teammates, that's what he's going to do. Well, I think there are pretty obvious reasons why it could with Daniel House Jr. as well. So beyond just Chris doing what he does as a Hall of Fame point guard, 11 assists to just one turnover, there's a lot of positives just from his individual stat line, but the synergies with Daniel House, I think that's really rewarding. On paper, those two should fit. Sometimes, though, the game isn't played on paper. So to see Chris and Daniel get going with that second unit, Chris was plus 10, but Daniel plus 20. Some of that, of course, speaks to what he did when he was alongside Chris Paul. And if Daniel House can spark that second unit, or if they flip it and Eric Gordon keeps shooting nearly 50% and he goes back to that role, wherever it may be, well, as long as one or both of those guys is comfortable, and I think both are clearly at the moment with Chris Paul, the orchestrator of that second unit, then especially against teams like the Atlanta Hawks, the Rockets are going to be just fine. So really, when you have role players stepping up and then you have James Harden and Chris Paul having games like they did, 31, 10, and 8 in the case of James, 13, and 11 in the case of Chris, also had three steals. The Rockets got out with a 16-point win, and no one even had to play major minutes, which is a big deal because they do have another game tomorrow night in Memphis. More on that momentarily as we close out tonight's show. Final thoughts as we wrap up Tuesday's episode at Locked On Rockets on the 121-105 win posted by Houston and Atlanta. It improves the Rockets to 45-26, high water mark at 19 games over 500, now alone in the 3 spot in the Western Conference standings, and they've won 12 of their past 13. Really the standouts tonight, the stars, James Harden and Chris Paul, they do what stars do, 31, 10, and 8 in the case of James, 13, and 11 for Chris Paul, 3 steals, just 1 turnover, and then the role players, Clint Capella, 26, and 11, Daniel House Jr., 19 points, plus 20, career best 6 made threes. When you have those guys stepping up, and then you have Harden and Paul out there, you're probably going to be fine, even if you have some players out, which the Rockets did, and Iman Shumpert, Nene, front end of a back-to-back, they did not go. And the Rockets were still 9 deep with your regular 5 starters, plus Kenneth Faried, Austin Rivers, Daniel House, and Gerald Green coming off that bench. And Gerald played just 9 minutes. He's been cold of late, and with the bench as deep as it is, then we've seen lately that if Gerald's cold, and we know that Gerald's a streaky guy, when he's good, he can be really good, and when he's bad, he can be really bad. Well, if there's a stretch in which he's not giving you what he can, then you can have a quicker hook on him. And that's one of the benefits of depth. And that's even with the Rockets resting Iman Shumpert and Nene. Those two presumably return tomorrow night in Memphis. And we've already heard that the Rockets plan on resting Eric Gordon, who now 30 years old, and he's had some ongoing issues with his knee this year that probably need to maintain, especially considering what we've seen of Eric Gordon with rest this year. That's when he's been a much, much better player. So a lot of you might be wondering why the Rockets, because really, when you look at the standings, I know they're 45 and 26, but they haven't gotten a lot of help in terms of chasing down Denver and Golden State. Denver, in particular, has been very annoying. Lots of comebacks, close wins. So while the 1 and 2 seeds, it's not impossible. At the same time, the Rockets are 3 games back as I'm recording this podcast and only 11 games left. It's definitely a long shot. The Blazers just a game and a half back. And the Spurs and the Thunder, 3 games back of Houston fully after Tuesday night's win by the Rockets. And I'm sure some of you are saying, with such a small differential, why are the Rockets resting so early? Why aren't they trying to put their foot on the gas? And of course, some of that is silly because, well, the Rockets, even without those guys, they are putting their foot on the gas. These are back-to-back really strong wins against Minnesota and Atlanta. While not good teams, they're also not terrible. And the Rockets winning with ease, especially on the road Tuesday in Atlanta, those are really nice things to see. So I'm sure some of you are saying, well, is it the right time to rest? And of course, part of it, well, the Rockets are so deep now, they can legitimately, when healthy, be 10 or 11 deep. So it's not like everybody's going to play or at least have true rotation minutes if everyone is healthy and ready to go. So part of it, the Rockets are trying to evaluate, get more data, and then as you get closer to the playoffs, you're not going to play all of these guys. So you want to see what makes sense, assuming everyone is healthy, knock on wood. So part of it is kind of using the luxury of your depth, giving guys a combination of rest, which is beneficial to them, and then also for the team, getting to evaluate for extended runs those other guys, and so you kind of got to mix and match as far as your role players go, and that's what they're trying to do. And with this being a road back-to-back, that it makes all the more sense for guys Shumpert, Gordon, Nene, that are either up there in age and or have known injury concerns, to be more proactive with that. The other reason, though, that I think that we should all be aware of. The schedule is going to get a lot more difficult starting next week. And really, you could say as early as Friday against San Antonio, because the Spurs have won 9 in a row, but that game is in Houston. I still don't think the Spurs are as good as the streak would indicate. Who knows? Maybe they'll prove me wrong on Friday. But then that's followed up by a game at New Orleans on Sunday, where the Rockets should definitely be favorites again. By and large, though, starting last Sunday in Dallas, other than the Warriors game, the Mavs, the Hornets, the Suns, the Wolves, the Hawks, the Rockets, they've had a lot of lesser opponents, and by and large, they've taken care of business. They've won all the games. Now, a couple of those, Dallas, Phoenix, were closer than you'd like, but Charlotte, Minnesota, Atlanta, the Rockets have finally shown what we would like to see, which is the killer instinct to go out and kind of step on the throat of a team that you should go out there and be better than. Well, beginning next week, you're not really going to have any of those games for a while. Tuesday the 26th, you're in Milwaukee. Thursday the 28th, a game that could be huge, with the Rockets going to have any hopes of catching Denver. They host the Nuggets here in Houston. Then you have a home-and-home with Sacramento, who still is not eliminated on the fringe of the Western Conference playoff picture. And then on night two of a road back-to-back on Wednesday, April 3rd, you are in L.A. against the Clippers, a team that is playing fabulous ball right now. So that five-game stretch, Milwaukee, Denver, Sacramento, L.A., that's a five-game stretch in which three are on the road, and one of those three is the second night of a back-to-back. That's the Clippers. And the first one at Milwaukee is a game you know they're going to be juiced for, because Giannis is going to be trying to secure the MVP and take it from James Harden. So the Rockets, it does ease up a little bit after that. The last three games, home against New York and Phoenix, then that huge finale at Oklahoma City. The point is, the break in the schedule is now. So that's why, even though the schedule, I know you see this stretch now and it's a month left almost until the playoffs, and I'm sure there are some wondering, is this really time to go into rest mode? And the answer is yes, because of the schedule. Because that stretch, when you have, I don't know if it's murderer's row, but it's definitely tough, that's when you want to have most of your big guns available. Now, fortunately, this tonight and Wednesday at Atlanta and Memphis, that's the second to last back-to-back of the year. The only one that's left is April 2nd and 3rd, the aforementioned in Sacramento, and then in L.A. against the Clippers. So clearly, the back-to-back always plays a role with some of your veterans or guys with pre-existing injuries. Beyond that, though, this is the law, and thankfully the Rockets are doing Part A of what I would say is a two-part process, and that's win the games. But Part B is you need to take advantage from a health perspective and get some of these guys right. Because the Rockets are not going to have that luxury starting next week. The Bucks, Denver, two against Sacramento, then you have on the road at the Clippers the week after that. And the schedules for the Blazers, the Spurs, those actually get fairly weak by how I've looked at them. So the Rockets need to be making hay. The good news is that they are doing that. And you're hopefully getting some of those other guys healthy as well. So I don't really see any reason to worry about them health-wise. I've not been told anything that's going on. That's the good news, and if you're worried about why are they doing this so far away from the playoffs, the answer is, beyond just the fact that they need to get data, all those types of things, well, it's about to get more tough. The Rockets are doing what they need to do and should do against a tough or an easier part of the schedule, but it's not going to last forever. The schedule is going to toughen up, and hopefully by that point, whoever the Rockets deem worthy of rotation minutes against the likes of the Bucks, the Nuggets, the Kings, the Clippers, hopefully they will be ready to go. Anyway, I think this will do it for our Tuesday evening show, because it doesn't have a long shelf life due to that aforementioned back-to-back. Rockets are back in action on Wednesday night in Memphis against the Grizzlies. Hopefully the Rockets can continue doing what we have just been talking about how they've done over the past week plus, which is getting these wins and racking them up, and tomorrow that opportunity to get to 46-26, 20 games over 500. Imagine that, by continuing to beat up on teams they should be better than. Whatever happens, though, for better or for worse, we'll have you covered right here at Locked On Rockets, because that's what we do, as your only home for daily podcast commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. If you want more content before our next show on Wednesday evening, recapping that Memphis game, whatever happens, the best place to get it is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. The show is on there at Locked On Rockets. And beyond that, we've got a Facebook account, facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, a website, LockedOnRockets.com, and an email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. All of those are ways that you can, of course, access prior content. You can also ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, or inquire about how to become a potential sponsor of the program Yes, we've got some great introductory specials, just as our new friends and sponsors over at DraftKings were able to take advantage of today. Remember, if you go to DraftKings.com or download the DraftKings app and use the code Dribble, you can enter their bracket battle promotion for free until the games start the NCAA tournament on Thursday morning and compete for your share of $64,000. Also, before we close out, if you've not already subscribed to the program, I strongly encourage you to do so. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Megaphone, wherever you like to listen to your podcast, the odds are we're on there because we've got great distribution as part of the Lockdown Podcast Network. So please subscribe, leave a five-star review. That's how you get the benefit of episodes delivered right to your inbox even before I post them on my Twitter timeline. And we get the benefit with your subscription and hopefully your five-star review of looking attractive to potential advertisers and keeping this business model rolling as the only daily podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. Also, if you're looking beyond just your normal subscriptions, your media services, if you use voice assistant providers, well, just say play podcast Locked on Rockets. And if you're in the car, in the gym, you can find your most recent episode that way as well. One final time, the happy final from Atlanta on Tuesday evening. Rockets 121, Hawks 105. Houston has now won its 12th of 13 games, and they have now improved to 45-26, which at 19 games over 500 is their high water mark for the season, and improves them to a game and a half up in the race for the West number 3 seed as far as playoff positioning is concerned. How sweet it is. As always, thanks for listening, and please come back soon for more episodes right here at Locked on Rockets, your home for daily podcast analysis of everything Houston Rockets basketball.